Alright, old movies. Who likes old movies? Do I like old movies? I mean, some like really old movies. You ever watched Bringing Up Baby? That's a classic. I love that show. That's a really old one, though. It's probably from the 30s. But it's a good one if you like Katharine Hepburn and who's the guy?
Cary Grant.
Cary Grant. That's right. Cary Grant. It's a good show. Like those. One of the ones that come out with a famous saying was Love Story 1970, if you've watched that one. Come out with, the famous phrase from that one's love is never having to say you're sorry. What a dingbat. Totally not true. Doesn't work. there's always a need for apologies and sorries. And some come out rather quickly. Some are held back. The kids get together and start a feuding, and one hurts another one. Tell them you're sorry. Sorry. So, real quick, sorry. Not a lot of thought put into it. Just that was the answer. The right answer. Sorry. Or the ones that don't want to do it so bad. Sorry. Sorry. And then they're sorry. So, sorry means it comes out a lot of different ways. But we're going to talk about repentance today again. Just a little bit. Brought it up a little last week. But repentance, Greek, is metanoeho. And I probably can't say it again. Metanoeho means turn around. It doesn't mean I'm sorry. It means turn around. It means change direction. It means change of mind. Your mind's switching from where it was to go in a different direction. You want to not do that anymore to do something else. It does not mean I'm sorry. It does not mean I'll try harder. It does not mean I'm remorseful, although all of those are part of it. But it's more than that. It's more than that. Why the Bible calls for repentance throughout Scripture, from read it all. Jonah and Moses and John the Baptist, everybody's calling out for repentance to change what you're doing. Some people say, why do I need to change? Well, John 3:16, first of all, God gave us Jesus to save us from where we're going. We're all sinners in need of a Savior, and He died for us so we can be saved from a horrible eternal death to a glorious eternal life. And God bears with us. Romans 2:4, we read a little last week, God draws us to Himself, but through His kindness and His forbearance, or toleration, we might call it, and His patience, and He's gracious enough that hopefully we're convicted of sin, that gives us the opportunity to realize it and change and to do something different. And Paul apparently wrote another letter to the Corinthians prior to 2 Corinthians, and we're going to read about that today in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 8 through 16. And Paul's talking about the letter he wrote and asking for, he kind of got on him a little bit, asking for repentance, saying repentance needs to be made and for what you're doing. It doesn't say exactly what it is, but that's what the letter was about, and this is in response to that letter. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 8 through 16, says, even if I caused you sorrow by my letter, I do not regret it. He says, though I did regret it, I see that my letter hurt you, but only for a little while. Yet now I am happy, not because you were made sorry, but because your sorrow led you to repentance. For you became sorrowful as God intended, and so were not harmed in any way by us. Godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret, but worldly sorrow brings death. See what this godly sorrow has produced in you? What earnestness, what eagerness to clear yourselves, what indignation, what alarm, what longing, what concern, what readiness to see justice done. At every point, you have proved yourself to be innocent of this matter. So even though I wrote to you, it was neither on account of the one who did the wrong, nor on account of the injured party, but rather that before you, God can see for yourselves how devoted to us you are. By all this, we are encouraged. In addition to our own encouragement, we are especially delighted to see how happy Titus was because his spirit has been refreshed by all of you. I had boasted to him about you, and you have not embarrassed me. But just as everything we said to you was true, so our boasting about you to Titus has proved to be true as well. And his affection for you is all the greater when he remembers that you are all obedient, receiving him with fear and trembling. I am glad that I can have complete confidence in you. So he kind of called him out. He wrote him a letter, said, look, this is not right, you know. And sometimes we need, when we're in sin, we need a friend. We need it to be pointed out to us. We either don't recognize it, or we don't want to recognize it, the things we fail at. And it takes a really strong Christian friend, pretty close to, with some boldness, yet with some compassion, to point out sin and the need for repentance in someone else's life. Needs to be someone who loves us enough to want to help us change from the wrong that's going on in our life, the wrong choices that we make, the mistakes we make. It also takes a strong person that wants to have a strong faith and a desire to be obedient to Christ, to hear it and to accept it and to do something about it. So it takes both. You see how hard it was. Paul even struggled with it a little bit. He said, you know, I cause you sorrow, I don't regret it. He says, though I did regret it, you know, he didn't want to have to send that. He didn't want to have to do that. But he felt it necessary for them to understand they needed to turn around. They needed to make a change from what they were doing, or at least what they were accused of doing. But he sent the letter, and he said he didn't want to cause pain, but it was worth it. You know, it was worth it to see the sorrow that led to repentance. You know, it was worth it to see them change from sin. It was worth it to see them be restored. Again, it takes strength and it takes maturity to go to someone with it, and it takes maturity to be able to accept it as well. Because honestly, you know, there's risk involved. You know, you're going to have 99% that may say, I didn't do anything wrong. You know, they don't see it. You know, I'm not doing anything wrong. And then thankful for maybe the 2% that might accept it. I understand. Thank you for telling me. You know, because it's tough. That's what we're called to do for each other. Called to help each other. Called to build each other up. And this may seem like tearing down, but it's not. It's building each other up. We need to do that. We need to be strong enough to tell a Christian friend, people we love, that there's mistakes being made, but we also need to be mature enough to take what we're being told and really examine ourselves and see if it's true. Look at it with their eyes, with God's eyes. You know, sorrow comes in a couple of ways when we talk about sin, you know. We got the worldly sorrow that he mentioned. You know, the worldly remorse. But perhaps that remorse is just because we got found out. You know, we got caught. We got called out. That's the remorse we have in it. You know, and our remorse, it can be legitimate. It can be sincere. You know, and we feel bad, and we can say the right words. Say, I understand, I'll change. You know, I promise. You know, I'll do better. You know, I'm sorry. But then we see as time goes on, sometimes we fall back into the same patterns that we were just in. You know, sorrow and confession isn't enough. It's not enough. Action and change are needed. They're required. You know, we might say Judas had worldly sorrow. You know, Jesus sent him to do what he had planned to do. And then Judas went and done it. And then Judas saw the results. And Judas had sorrow. I believe he had legitimate sorrow. And he felt bad enough to try to return the pieces of silver he was paid to betray Jesus. Tried to return them. But ultimately, his worldly sorrow led to death. You know, he felt distraught, but his sorrow didn't change him. If anything, he let it eat him up. You know, his sorrow was all he had. He let sorrow control him instead of turning to God. You know, again, sorrow, repentance, turning around. He didn't turn around. He kind of stayed on the same path. He was sorrowful, but he wasn't repentant about it as far as we know. So there's a worldly sorrow that doesn't really help us in God's eyes. There's a worldly sorrow that's only shown to others and maybe in our own strength what we want to do. Then there's a godly sorrow. Godly sorrow is when we know our sin's really against God. You know, we may have treated somebody else badly, but our sin's against God. But godly sorrow produces life, not death. You know, it leads to repentance that changes the heart. The heart changes. It's a change of behavior. Our behavior changes. It's God's way now, not my way. I want to go God's way. My way didn't work. But it takes a true examination of yourself. And then a surrender. And well, people don't like that word surrender, but we got to surrender to the facts, to the truth that at times we don't want to see. It's a change that makes us accountable. And we desire to be accountable for it. I've heard of accountability partners and things that's trying to overcome some things. You know, we want to be held accountable because we don't want to go back. We need those people around us that love us to help us. You know, and it leads to a reformed life. You know, Zacchaeus, the wee little man. Wee little man was he in the sycamore tree. He changed. You know, he not only had remorse, but he had repentance. You know, he changed his ways. You know, he gave back what he owed people. But in addition to that, he gave restitution above and beyond what was taken from those he had wronged. He went above and beyond it to make a difference, to try to make restitution. Repentance leads to a reformed life. He turned around from a taker to a giver. Did the opposite. Repentance leads to a reformed life. Repentance leads to a life that produces good fruit. A life of honesty, a life of compassion, a life of contentment. You know, I like the comics and I like the kids' shows and all those things. You know, the Kung Fu Pandas and Garfields and all those things. You know, several years ago, Peanuts comic strip, and was one of those. We've referenced Peanuts before, but Lucy and Charlie Brown, you know, practicing football, and Lucy would hold the ball for Charlie's place kicking, and then, of course, we know Charlie would kick the ball, but every time Lucy had ever held the ball for Charlie, he would approach the ball, kick with all of his might. And then we know at that precise moment, the point of no return, the leg was going out, the ball wasn't there to kick, and he would fall flat on his back. You know, this strip opened up with Lucy holding the ball, as always, but Charlie Brown said, nope, not going to kick that ball, not going to do it. Lucy begged him to kick the ball, said, no, come on, kick the ball, but Charlie Brown stood firm. He said, no. Every time I try to kick the ball, you remove it, and I fall flat on my back. And they went back and forth for the longest time. Finally, Lucy broke down in tears. She admitted, Charlie Brown, I have been so terrible to you over the years, picking up the football like I have. I've played so many cruel tricks on you, but I've seen the error of my ways. I've seen the hurt look in your eyes when I've deceived you. I've been wrong, so wrong. Won't you give a poor, penitent girl another chance? Well, Charlie Brown was moved. He said, And by her display of grief and responded to her, he says, of course. Of course I'll give you another chance. So he stepped back, and as she held the ball, he ran. And at the last moment, Lucy picked up the ball, and Charlie Brown fell flat on his back. And Lucy's last words were, you know, Charlie Brown, recognizing your faults and actually changing your ways are two different things. So we can recognize, but we've got to change. Can't stay doing the same thing. The problem is sometimes we don't recognize our faults, and we need that loving friend to help us out. I think sometimes we truly don't see them. We truly don't understand we're doing them. Sometimes we recognize our faults and then refuse to change, like Lucy. We don't want to change. We refuse to acknowledge the truth that it is us. And when we do that, that's when we store up God's wrath we talked about last week. We face a wrath of God too. Not the one of a non-believer, but we face a judgment of God too. But God's always seeking restoration. And that comes through repentance. 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise. This is, he's talking about 1,000 years is as a day to the Lord, and a day is as 1,000 years. But the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. You know, he gave his son Jesus to save the lost. He doesn't want anyone to perish. He doesn't want anyone but to have eternal life. Why not judgment? Why not now? Because he's patient. He has patience. He has tolerance for us while he's waiting. He's calling everyone to repent for any type of sin that they're doing. For the unsaved and for the saved. You know, becoming saved don't mean we quit sinning. It's still there. But we have a way to get rid of it. You know, he will forgive us if we ask. If we repent and truly mean it. You know, all sins against God and works against our relationship with him. All sin does that. Luke 3:8-9 says, produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you that out of these stones God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the lake of fire. So, repentance produces fruit. Fruit's what come out of that. You know, repentance should lead to change that leads to producing fruit in our life and for the lives of others. You know, just as people claim salvation but show no fruit, you know, we don't judge that, but we can discern that. God has given us discernment that just maybe that conversion wasn't genuine. Maybe it wasn't real. You know, as Christians repent and seek change, is there fruit? You know, can we see the difference? It's going to be something we can see. You know, is there no fruit? Then we can discern that just maybe that repentance wasn't truly genuine. James talks about how good works show that God is truly in our life. Without works, our faith is dead. It's not producing anything for the kingdom of God. God-centered people show fruit in the way they live and the way they treat others. You know, works doesn't get us into heaven, but works is a result of knowing where we're at with God. And applies to everyone equally. There's no favorites. We're going to have an invitation in just a minute. You know, repentance. Repentance allows me to hate sin. Not just the consequences. Not just the effects of sin. It's not enough to mope around or be depressed. Repentance is taking God's point of view over mine. What does a repentant person look like? Well, a repentant person, I believe, confesses it all. You know, they don't just confess when they get caught. There's some things that we know about that we're messing up. A repentant person confesses it all. They face the pain sin has caused to others. They address it with others. They understand the pain that's been caused. They don't offer excuses. They don't offer blame. You know, don't try to pin it on somebody else, or somebody made me do it, or all this stuff was going on, I didn't have a choice, you know. They don't offer excuses or blame. They take responsibility for what they've done. They seek forgiveness from others and from God. They want accountability. They want to be held to a standard. Consequences they have to accept. You know, there's some consequences that depend on what you've done. You're not allowed at certain places. You just can't be at certain locations. And they have to accept those consequences. Even though they're a changed person, there's consequences to those choices that we've made. They desire a restored relationship with others and with God. The relationship is the most important. They humble themselves. They seek what God wants. They humble themselves before God and others. And then they depend on, and then they ask the Holy Spirit to help them in the change that God desires. A lot of times we can't do it on our own. We need the Holy Spirit to help us and guide us through those things. You know, a Sunday school teacher once asked in class what was meant by the word repentance. A little boy put up his hand and said, "It is being sorry for your sins." And a little girl also raised her hand and said, "It's being sorry enough to quit." So are we sorry enough of sin to quit? Are we sorry enough of sin in our life to make a change? Are we sorry enough to repent and turn around? And only you can answer that. Only you can answer that. God already knows. So you might as well be honest. He already knows. So if you go to repent, make it genuine. Make it real. Turn around. And change things. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for folks like Paul that's not afraid to help others to repent, to change, to not just be sorrowful, not just be sad, not just be sorry, not just be remorseful, but to go the full thing and change, to actually change, to turn around, to make a difference. And Lord, we just pray that you would just help us in that. We all sin each and every day. We all sin. And Lord, we all need forgiveness. We all need repentance. And Lord, do we just ask you to help us in that? And Lord, we just ask you to help make it right with you, right with others, right with those in our life, and that our life would become fruitful, and people see that change in us. Lord, we see it in people all the time that change and become believers in you, and we see that happen. But Lord, even Christians need repentance on things that's going on, that they give those things up and see our failures in life, and are convicted of those things. And Lord, you use others for that as well. But we just pray that you would help us to recognize those things, to seek true repentance, and to turn around, and to be the fruitful people, the fruitful Christians, the believers that you would have us to be, that make a difference in other people's lives. Father, we just ask you to the Holy Spirit to help us in that, to point us in the right direction, and to deliver us from those things. And Father, we just pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll sing a hymn, page 312, if you would stand.